Awesome. All right, you guys can take a seat. It is my pleasure to introduce to you tonight's speaker. He's been an incredible influence on my life. He's been traveling with me since day one. It is me. Welcome to the stage, me. I'm a dad. I'm allowed. Okay, sorry. I'll try to remember not to do that again. Okay, so this term, if you haven't been with us, we have been talking about evangelism, which is a really fancy sort of Christian word for telling people about youth and about Jesus, right? And we started also with me at the start of the term, and we talked about why we avoid talking to our friends. And of course, the main one or main reason I hypothesize that we don't, that was a stupid word, sounds like we're in school. Anyway, the main reason I thought that maybe we don't tell our friends about youth or what's happened on Fridays or about how Jesus has changed our lives is fear. And of course, last house party, we heard from Laura Brockwell, who shared with us that when we want to, or when we decide we're going to take up the mission that Jesus has for us and start sharing with our friends, that we want to be prepared, right? I'm sure some of you will remember the three states of cake that we saw last house party. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can listen to the podcast. And tonight, I'm going to talk about how to evangelize without being weird. Because really, that's what we're all, I think that's what we're stressed about. This almost loops back to the first week where I spoke about fear. Is like, we're kind of scared we're going to come off as like weird Christians, right? And this, I mean, we can be scared of that in multiple ways. Like, firstly, we can be scared about how that's going to hurt our reputation. And then if you're really deep and meaningful, you might be scared about how it would impact Jesus' reputation among your friends. But forget all of that, because that's rubbish. And we'll see why I think that's rubbish in just a second. The first thing I want to tell you guys tonight about evangelism that will make it be like not as weird with your friends is to be authentic, is to be real all the time. I think it's one of the most effective ways you can minister to people around you. I think one of the top reasons that people are turned off to youth or turned off to Christianity is not because it's weird. Because, like, we're here. We think some of the weird stuff that happens when God's in our lives is actually, like, pretty cool, even though it's weird, right? I don't think that's the number one reason people are turned off to Christianity or to youth. They're turned off when we're fake about it. They're turned off when we say, yeah, I go to youth, I follow Jesus, but we don't actually act like that during the week. We don't actually act like that when somebody does something wrong to us. We don't actually act like that when we go on the basketball court, because it's okay to act how I want on the basketball court or whatever it is. Christians who are fake, Christians who don't actually live out what they say they're trying to live out, I think is the top reason why people are turned off to Christianity. Now, let me be clear, that does not mean you have to be getting everything right all the time. I didn't say be perfect. I said be real, be authentic. It is really hard to fake it around the people who see all your ups, all your downs, who see you crack it when you're playing sport and then see you try to be a good guy later. The people who spend 6 hours a day with you at school and see your ups and your downs. The people who spend 2 hours a week with footy training, at footy training with you, who see what you're like when you get really, really tired at the end of training. And so the antidote to that is not being perfect. The antidote to that is being authentic in the way you talk, in the way you live. Like when you mess up and you say something mean to a friend or you say something out of line and you go, oh, you know, you get that little pang, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Do you know what I mean? Like that's not the Jesus part of me. That's the St. John part of me being mean to them. Call yourself out about it. Apologize rather than just blustering your way through or trying to turn it into banter by just laughing about it. Why don't you be authentic? Yeah, I stuffed up. I don't want to talk to people like that. I'm so sorry, Corey. I got angry, whatever it is. Be authentic. Be real. Because I think that will do more ministering or say more about your walk with Jesus to the people around you if you are real, if you're genuine about what's going on. When people see that you're just like them, but you still mess up, they see how you actually handle and correct yourself physically, mentally, verbally, whatever it is. They'll take note of that more than anything you can say. There's this really famous saying that like lots of people have heard from an old guy, whatever, some old guy. And it says, it's this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And so this is talking about the fact that the way we live, the way we interact with people every day, every interaction we have, can actually be showing an alternative way of living. We believe that God is leading us into a different way of living our lives. He's leading us into a life of encouraging people, of having hope, of being positive, even when things seem bleak. And we can show that to people in the way we live, in the way we react to things, without ever having to actually tell them that that's how we live. Now, with that said, that is not a get out of jail free card for actually sometimes using words, because the end is when necessary, use words. And there comes a time where action is also required. The antidote to people being put off by you being fake is just not being fake, is being real, is being authentic. But then the next step is actually to do something about it. Last house party, Laura reminded us at the end of her message in a very typically cat-themed way to pounce. So following on the train of thought from the last few weeks, firstly, we overcome our reasons not to share, remembering that inviting people to join us on the journey of following Jesus is our primary mission when we're following Jesus. Secondly, we prepare. We pray for our friends. We pray that their hearts would be prepared, that they would be open to an invitation, open to a conversation about Jesus. And then we keep our eyes and our ears open for the opportunities that God provides. Number three, we be real. We be authentic. We let people know that we're on a journey. And this is a big part of our effort here at Gateway. I don't try to pretend to be something that I'm not. I don't try to act a way that I'm not. I just am. I am who I am. I'm a not cool dad, and that's why my intro was not cool and like a dad's intro. But that's okay, because I believe that Jesus can still work through me, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. And so, of course, the next step is to do it. It is to actually invite your friends. It is to actually have a conversation about Jesus. All of this preparation has led you to this. And I don't know that there's much more to it than at some point to just go, okay, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to give it a go. It is necessary. It is time to use words, right? We have to do that at some point. And of course, it would be remiss of me not to, again, I sound like a teacher. Why do I use these words? Gosh, it would be stupid of me not to bring up the opportunity that is next Friday at Youth Alive. That is an event that is designed for your friends. It is designed for people who don't come to youth group. It is a message for people who don't follow Jesus yet. This is an incredible opportunity for you in the next week. If you want to try this out, if you want to trust God, if this term God has been talking to you, has been giving you a friend's name in the back of your mind and you've been putting it off, this is a great opportunity. And let me now loop back to what I was kind of saying before about how maybe I'm not always, you know, that great and I'm a bit of a dad, but that I trust Jesus anyway. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, who's a guy who's probably known as the greatest evangelist in the Bible, in Jesus' time, he planted tons of churches. Heaps of people started following Jesus because of what Paul was doing with his life. And Paul says this to the people in Corinth. It's called Corinthians. It's a letter to the people of a church in a town called Corinth. He says this, slightly edited by me, not to change the meaning, but just to make it easier to understand because there's some other things in there. Look it up yourself if you want to see how much I've minced the words. That's fine. It says this, ish. For Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. You are called by Jesus to this mission of spreading the good news. You are enough to do it. There is nothing holding you back. You can do it. You have a family here that has your back, whether you're successful the first time you try or not. And even though my message tonight is about how to evangelize without being weird, as I said earlier, the cool thing is that following Jesus is a bit weird. That's what makes us different. I think that's what makes youth and church, that's what makes us attractive. Why do you hang around? Are you like put off by the weird stuff, or is that part of what makes it kind of cool here? The stuff that's different to what you see when you're at school, when you're at the footy club, when you're at dance, when you're at calisthenics, whatever it is. Because I know I hung around the church. I hung around to see some of the weird bits. That doesn't put people off. People are interested in finding out more about that. And when they do, just like for you, when they get to learn about Jesus for the first time, when they get to meet Jesus for the first time, when they get to experience that slightly weird bit that we were able to invite them to just by being ourselves and being real and being authentic and caring about our friends and praying for our friends, none of which is weird, then the weird is on your side. The weird is on their side. So don't be too scared of the weird, because that's the cool bit about this place. That's the cool bit about following Jesus. Can I pray for you? Great, thank you. I'm glad someone gave me permission. Hey, God, thank you so much for the incredible young people in this room. And God, I thank you that you have called us. You can use us no matter how long we've been following you for, no matter whether we feel like we're equipped, no matter if we feel like we have incredible words or wisdom. God, you are enough when your words are on our lips. When we trust you, when we hear that still small voice say, invite that person to youth and we follow you, you are with us and you bring us supernatural peace and you bring us supernatural confidence. And so God, specifically over this weekend and this week, for the people in front of me, God, where there are people whose hearts are racing and they're saying, God, who do you want me to invite this week? I just pray that you would speak to them, give them a name, give them that confidence, give them that courage, and let them see what you can do with a simple invitation, a simple conversation. God, we love you. We love that it's a little bit weird here. God, do something incredible in this place next Friday in our friends who have never been here. In your name, amen.